We extend Christian greetings to each one. Welcome each one to the service. I can say that I was richly blessed thus far in being here. Brother Galen shared in a devotional about prayer. He mentioned that it is so much more important that we have a heart than that we have words. And that is so true. How would we be if we had no heart? Today, as we look into God's Word, it is my desire to minister to the needs of your heart. And I have no way of knowing what your needs are. But I trust that the Holy Spirit will accomplish His purpose. And as we open our hearts to Him, my mind can only go so far in the thoughts that I have, but as you listen to the words that I speak, allow the Spirit of God to take your minds further, and He can minister to the needs of your heart. And I trust Him that if you do so, that you will leave here blessed. I was a little bit in a betwixt in wondering what I should speak on today. The year 2018 is just about over. Jesus had this to say: a man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. In the past year, we have been freshly reminded of the brevity of life. My youngest sister, my dad, and the year prior, Sheila. None of us knows even if we're going to see 2019. I think that it is very important that we take heed to the way that we're going. And so I thought today I would speak about choices and their consequences, and maybe come over some examples that we have in the Bible concerning people that made choices. People have been making choices ever since Adam and Eve. I would like to read John 3:16. Very familiar verse. It says here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." We do good to remember that God says, "Whosoever will." He does not make us do anything. He allows us to choose. He has given us the power of choice. I would like to turn over and also read in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. This is a situation here where Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people, and He told the disciples that He was going to need to suffer many things, was going to need to die, rise again the third day. And then He has this to say. He said He also had to be rejected by the chief priests. Those were the church people, elders, and the scribes. And then in verse 23, He said, "And He said unto them all, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, and lose himself, or be cast away?" Sometimes we have choices to make that might make us unpopular. You see, if I think that is so important that our heart is right and that it is conditioned in a right way. Polly and I have a grandson in Canada, and here some time ago, he seriously burned his hands. They were around a campfire, and somehow he had an accident there, and he burned his hands. And I have a sister who's quite involved in burn and wound, how to treat that. And contact was made there, and directions were given, directions were followed, and the little boy's hands were healed. And a young boy, he's just up and walking around. It seems like he gets into about everything. And after his hands were healed, they have in their house a place where they keep a lot of his toys he likes to play with. And it's a living room where we sit when we're up there visiting. And they also have a wood stove in there that has a window. And you can watch the fire burning in there. It's very nice to look and watch, and they have wood heat. And Evelyn was concerned that he wouldn't burn his hands. And she went in, and she had just told him to be sure to not touch that glass. And to go down into that room, you have to go about 3-4 steps up into the kitchen, and it's a doorway there. And she had just told him to not touch that glass and went back up into the kitchen when she heard something go on, quickly went over, and here he had touched that glass again. Blisters on his hands that would hang down maybe an inch or so. What kind of heart do we have is a question that I would like to do in self-examination. You know, those of you who are parents in here, who have children, you realize that your children are all different. For some children, you can't hardly make enough rules for them. It seems they figure out a way to do something that they shouldn't do. And in specific, you didn't tell them exactly that they couldn't do that. They figure out a way. You can't hardly make enough rules for them. And then there are also children who seem to come along and are very obedient, don't hardly ever get into trouble. And I would like to say this morning, if you are a parent in here and if you have children, if we look at ourselves, who is responsible for the spiritual nourishment of your children? Is it the ministers? Is it the church? Or is it the dad in the home? When the children come up to the age of accountability, and they become born again, make that decision to serve and follow Christ, who's responsible for your spiritual nourishment? When you die and come before God, are you going to be able to blame other people for not telling you? When you have the Word of God so available to study and to have His blessings on your life if you follow that, God has given us the power to choose and to make choices. We don't have to follow Him. But what we don't have, we absolutely do not have the power to avoid or escape the consequences of the choices we make. We will reap what we sow. But because of the grace of God, we don't always have to suffer all the consequences of the choices we make. But that is the grace of God. It is not the power that we have to escape that. And so when we make choices, it is so important that we look far into the future. Where do you want to be when you're 70 years old, talking to you young people. Look at that. Observe and think. Allow God to direct you. The important thing is that God is directing you. Like we heard, we need to pray. We need to be connected to Him. Allow Him to guide us. There's so much that we cannot control in life. But our lives down the road are very much affected by the choices we make as we go along. Very much affected. I would like to turn to Judges chapter 13. We read here of a man who returned evil for evil. He made some very bad choices in life. Moses had been delivered out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They had received the Ten Commandments through Moses. Moses had died and passed on, and Joshua was their leader, and he had died and passed on. But Israel had come into the land of Canaan, and they experienced receiving vineyards that they had not planted, fields where they had not sown. They come into a land of milk and honey, if you will. But the leaders that were with them when they had come over had passed away. And Israel had fallen into sin. And because of that, God allowed enemy nations to Israel to subjugate them. And different judges had come on the scene and helped Israel be delivered and come back to God. But time and again, they fell away again. And it was in a period of time, a dark history for the kingdom of Israel, that they were subjugated by the Philistines. And in that period that they were subjugated by the Philistines, it was a period of about 40 years. In our day, it'd be about two generations. And it was in this scenario where they were subjugated by the Philistines, and in my mind, I think that a lot of Philistine villages, cities, whatever, were probably interspersed with the Israelites. And as they intermingled together, because Israel was subjugated by the Philistines were up here and the Israelites were down there. So the Israelites needed to be subservient to the Philistines in this period of time. And in spite of the fact that Israel had fallen into sin, that does not mean that all of them did. There was a man by the name of Manoah. The Bible does not say what his wife's name is that I'm aware of, but I believe they were God-fearing people. And to get a little bit of a backdrop here, I would like to read Judges chapter 13. Says here, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtiol. Here we see a couple, married couple, who were not able to have children, and then God gave them a son. And they were, when they received this promise, they were very concerned that this man of God would teach them, I believe, how to train and to conduct themselves with this child. They were concerned that this child would grow up to be what God wanted him to be. For the sake of time, I'm going to relate the best as I remember further accounts of Samson, but you can follow along here in the next few chapters. Correct me if I say anything wrong. But if we look at the last two verses of chapter 13, we look at a young child here growing up. And in my mind, this young child, Samson, had to be different from other boys. You know, I wonder if he asked his dad sometimes, you know, why do I have to be different? People say I look like a girl. I have long hair. You know, he probably had some different things to experience in growing up. They might have made fun of him. And especially if he came in contact with Philistine children. I don't know how all that was. But then time came that he grew up and he was a young man. And he went down into a Philistine village, the village of Timnath. And there he fell in love with a Philistine girl. And his parents were so burdened with that. They asked him, you know, can't you find a girl of the Israelites? Do you have to go to the Philistines? But Samson wouldn't listen. He said, she pleases me. You know, when you young men are looking for a life partner, or you young girls looking for a life partner, think far ahead. Do you know who do you want to raise your children? You know, think of how things will be when you're old. Samson, I think, was not looking very deep. He was looking on the outside, probably. And he allowed his carnality to affect him in the choices that he made. One day he was going down to see his girlfriend, and a lion came at him, and he slew the lion and killed it and left it laying there. And later when he came by, the carcass was probably all hollowed out, dried out probably, and a swarm of bees had made a hive in it, and he got honey out of that and ate it. And also, I think, gave to his parents, maybe. But anyhow, his relationship with this Philistine girl developed, and he told his dad to get her for him. He wanted her. And so, as custom was, Manoah did that. It so went against what Manoah wanted for his son and his wife. But his son was determined, and Samson was determined, and he had a great amount of strength because of the Spirit of the Lord. I think if you looked at him, if we think of a person that is very strong, we think of people with bulging muscles and that kind of thing. And maybe there were people amongst the Philistines who were built that way. But I think Samson looked just like an ordinary man of his day in that regard. I don't think he had bulging muscles that were extraordinary from other people. And yet, when he did things, I mean, he was able to move things and do things that an ordinary man couldn't even come close to doing. And in all that, it got the Philistines' attention. He had quite a reputation. And when Samson, the wedding was, he put a riddle forth and told them that if they would tell him what the answer is to his riddle, that he would give them a certain amount of clothing. And if they were not able to answer his riddle, that they would have to give him clothing. And they were not able to come up with the answer to his riddle, so they talked to his newlywed wife. And they told her that if she did not reveal to them the answer to the riddle by getting it from Samson, that they would burn her and her father out. What kind of friends were those? And so she wept in front of Samson, wept and pleaded, and she told him that he didn't love her if he didn't tell her the answer to the riddle. So Samson finally told her, and she told the Philistines. And when Samson came back and the Philistines told him the answer to his riddle, he knew that they had got it from his wife. And so, can you imagine how betrayed he felt, his newlywed wife? He was able to see who her real friends really were. And it so upset him that he left, went home to his mom and dad. Later he came back, spent time with his wife. And when he came back, his father-in-law wouldn't let him in. Said, hey, he said, you went home and I married her off to your best friend. So she's married now, so that upset Samson again. So returning evil for evil. Well, first back up just a little bit. When they knew the answer to the riddle, he went out and killed 30 Philistines and got their garments, and he had that to give because they knew the riddle, answer to the riddle. And so when he came back to spend more time with his wife, she'd already been given to another. It upset him again. So he went and caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together with torches and scattered them off through the Philistine cornfields. Burned a bunch of cornfields down with shocks and things. And that really upset the Philistines. And I can imagine it would. Probably would upset me too. But returning evil for evil is never the answer. And so the Philistines were upset with that. And so they come and asked, why did Samson do this? And then somebody knew to say, well, Samson came back to spend time with his wife, and her father had already married her off to somebody else. So these Philistines went and burned her and her father out anyhow. So they got burned in the end anyhow. And then they, going further, they wanted Samson. And Samson, when they came to get him, he slew a bunch of them. And then there was another account where he come down to spend some time in Gaza, and they tried to trap him, and he lifted the gates off, and he carried them for, I think, 15 or 20 miles away, a gate where a man could probably not even begin to lift. It's quite a distance. But anyhow, returning evil for evil, these Philistines have had enough of Samson. So like 3,000 of them went over to the Israelite camps and demanded that they turn Samson over or they're going to be rough on him. And so they said, we'll get Samson for you. And they went to Samson. They took some strong cords and double tied him up. But before Samson allowed him to do that, he asked them that they for sure wouldn't fall on him. They said they wouldn't. They just wanted to deliver him. Well, they delivered him to the Philistines, and the Philistines were real happy about seeing him bound up like that. But when they got their hands on him, he tore those ropes to pieces, like burnt flax, it says. And he went and grabbed the jawbone of an ass, and he slew 1,000 of them, I think. A bunch of them. And the Philistines, man, they just didn't know what to do with this man. And the Bible says here that Samson judged Israel in the last verse of chapter 15, that he judged Israel for 20 years. And I don't know, did they kind of leave him alone after that? But Samson, again, made a bad choice. I'd like to look just a little bit at the lady from Timnath. She also made choices. You see, Israel was intermingled with them. When Israel came out of Egypt, a lot of proselytes went with them. It was possible for heathen people to join the Israelites. They were known to be the people of God. And I think this lady from Timnath would have had that ability. But if you look at the condition of her heart, her true allegiance was with her people. Ruth is an example of one who chose to join the people of God. Ended up marrying Boaz. But anyhow, she also made choices, and she suffered for those choices. You see, I read in a former scripture here, he that seeketh to save his life will lose it. He that is willing to lose his life for my sake will save it. But Samson went on and again fell in love with a heathen girl, and her name was Delilah. And Delilah was offered a lot of silver, 1,100 pieces of silver from each of the ones who offered her. I don't know how many people there were. If she would deliver to them the answer to the secret of Samson's strength. And so she wore him down. She also told him that if you don't tell me the answer to your strength, you don't love me. And Samson deceived her several times there, but she finally wore him down and told her the secret of his strength. He said, if someone would cut the hair off of my head, I would be just like an ordinary man. And Delilah knew that when he said that he shared his heart with her. And Samson, in allowing himself to be attracted to this lady, probably just because of her looks, whatever it may be, paid dearly for that. You see, he did not have the power to escape the consequences of his choice. And when you look at preparing a person's heart, and how can I prepare my heart? We heard in our Sunday school lesson today about deceptive spirits in the latter days. And I mentioned about you can't make enough rules for some people. If a person is born again, and if a person's heart is right with the Lord, you are a safe person. At least Joseph was in Egypt. Daniel was, and his three friends were in Persia. The important thing is that our heart is true. And then the decisions we make are based on that. And like Brother Henry mentioned just today, a fixed heart. That is what makes all the difference. But Samson, he fell in love with this Delilah. The secret of his strength was discovered. His hair were cut off. And the Philistines came upon him. And he thought he'd get up and shake himself just like he did other times and get those guys. But his strength was gone. And the Philistines finally had him. And one of the first things they did is they put out his eyes. And then they put him to prison, and he was made to turn the wheel to grind grain. That is an awful thing to have to happen to any man. You know, you are now living in a life of darkness. Never can you expect to be able to see anything again in this life. His eyes were permanently put out, and he was in prison. And yet, in Hebrews chapter 11, his name is mentioned as one of the heroes of faith. How can that be? It is because of the grace of God. When Samson was there in that prison, a phrase that is sometimes sung and expressed is so fitting for Samson. I was blind, but now I can see. When Samson was in that prison, turning that wheel, he had time to think. And I think it was during that time that he came back to God. His hair grew back. And sometimes we walk away from the grace of God. But his grace is faithful. He takes us back, as he did for Samson. The Spirit of God came on him again. Time came when the Philistines were together celebrating that this great enemy of their people was enslaved by them. And so they had a big feast in celebration to their God. I'm thinking his name might have been Dagon. And someone said, hey, let's get Samson out here. Let's make sport of him. You know, this our idol has delivered us from this man with such terrible strength. And so they sent someone to bring Samson. Samson was brought. And Samson asked the child that led him around to take him to the pillars that supported the temple that they were in. And the lad did so. And I remember as a young boy that my mom used to relate this story to us. And she said she wonders if Samson might have told this lad to run. But he pushed those pillars apart. The Bible says that he killed more people at his death than he did during his life. And in the first chapter that I read here in chapter 13, God's will was to use Samson to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Time is moving on. I would like to turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Start reading here in verse 23. There is so much good direction for us. And you know, Samson did not have these Proverbs to go through to apply his life to it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, and put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I would like to continue reading a portion of chapter 5 in conjunction with the account of Samson. It says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And I have to wonder, you know, if Samson would have had a Bible to go to like we do, you know, would his choices have been different? Samson made some bad choices, as did Delilah. You know, she probably saw what they did to Samson after she betrayed him. But she had her money. She had her silver. And I'm made to think how Judas was affected when he had his money after he betrayed his Lord. When you do crooked things like that, deceptive, the way that we are made to function as God intended, we cannot enjoy ill-gotten gains. As God's children, may we always choose to do what is right. And if our heart is right, we'll sometimes make some decisions and choices that might make us unpopular with the people that we're with. That's what Joseph did. That's what Daniel did. And God saw them through. He that seeketh to save his life will lose it. And he that is willing to lose his life for the sake of Christ shall save it. With these words, let's kneel for a word of prayer.